Happy Sabbath. You guys look so good and you guys sound so good. Well, no, you guys don't sound good, actually. You guys need to have some more energy as you say Happy Sabbath back to me. Happy Sabbath. That sounds much better now. That's more like you. That's more like Ashur Hills Church. Because we are a big family, aren't we? Everybody, quiet. We're not a big family? I think we are just like a Hispanic family. You know that? And do you know this phrase? And you probably know the quote or phrase, whatever you want to call. Mi casa es... You know that one, right? Now, what I don't understand is that only in California area or that's like Florida also and somewhere in the middle of the United States where they are not Hispanics? Is that the same? I don't know. Anybody knows that? You ever heard that phrase before? Or only here in California? Well, let me tell you that once again. Mi casa es su casa. And I don't know if you probably realize the phrase. How good is that one? You see, Hispanics, we are very, very, kind of like, as a group, as a family, we are very together. I have a few things I want you to realize. Let's see, how many Hispanics we have here? Raise your hand. Oh, a few. How many non-Hispanics are here? How many half Hispanics are here? Half, only half. Yeah, some of you guys are like, yeah, I'm part Chinese, I'm part Hispanic, or part Romanian, I'm part Hispanic. Let me read this. Let's see if you realize. You know you are growing in a Hispanic family when you kiss every single person in the cheek. And that's right, right? If you're a Hispanic, you know that happens. When you go around and you say hello to everyone, you're like, hello, tia, hello, tio, hello, mama, hello, papa. And you go by kissing. And that's very biblical, too. So you know you are Hispanic when you kiss everyone. You know you're growing in a Hispanic family, kids, when taking a perfect picture, it's almost impossible. Just like bringing all of you guys here to come and a picture, and all the parents are here. Okay, mija, get closer. No, mijo, mijo, cuidado here. And all of that, everybody is like, come on, picture time. We forgot grandma. There is grandma. Here I am. Right? You know you are part of a Hispanic family if you have an aunt who tries to network for you. And you know what I mean. That's why some of you guys laugh. It's like when you're there, mijo, I know the best thing for you. I know the best girl for you. I know the best guy. Let me introduce you. And you're like, where are you taking me? Here, look, Panchita Luis. And you're like, what's going on? You know you are grown in a Hispanic family when you lose weight and your family think you are sick. Isn't that case that sometimes some of you guys that happen? Mom, but I'm fine. Mijo, you need to eat more. Let me give you more vitamins. That's why my mom did to me. I was a baby, and she actually took me to the doctor so the doctor will give me, more vitamins, even so that I was eating, and I was fine, and I was really chubby. You probably relate to that. You know that you are part of a Hispanic family when your house always smells like food. I'm not talking feet because of my accent. I'm talking food. When you go there and every time you open the door, is that huevo rancheros, ma'am? Is that beans and cheese and rice? And is that enchiladas? Nice melting enchiladas? That you can almost smell, remember, just in front of you, like the smell, like, ah. Right? Are you hungry? Yeah, really? Enchiladas. You like Mexican food? Oh, yeah, it's good. You know you're part of a growing Mexican family or Hispanic family when you see kids everywhere. And they play with you and they don't have any sense that this is my private room. And they go in. And they just don't care. You also know that you are part of a Hispanic family When mom give you the phone to you to say hello to an aunt or uncle who is somewhere in Mexico and you don't ever met before, go ahead, say hello to your uncle. And you're like, who's that? Your uncle. Hello, uncle? Isn't that interesting? Because all of these things, even so that they sound funny, that also shows, guys, that there is a strong sense of family, a strong sense that they want you to actually belong to a place that you feel comfortable. And Pathfinders, I want to tell you, if Azure Hills is like a Hispanic family, then we sure make you feel that this is your church. This is not only your church, this is your family. And I'm going to tell you more than that. Your family is big. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. All Pathfinders, stand. Look at you guys. You guys look so sharp. Turn around. Turn around and look at the people. I want you to just keep looking. Okay, all those uncles who are Hispanic, raise your hands, please, for these kids. Look at them. You have uncles who are Hispanic. Okay, bring it down. All those uncles who are Asian, raise your hand. Yeah, look at them. Filipinos, Indos, look at them. All those uncles who don't have any older background, just white, raise your hand. All right, you may sit down now. You have a family, Pathfinders. And your family is probably named Azure Hills, but more than that, you have family who cares for you. And we want you to belong, to feel comfortable enough to come and talk to your family. Not to feel that you cannot open up to your family, but you can open up and be you, who you are. Just don't go into my office. That's so mean, isn't it? I said, Pastor, I want to go into your office. Come to my office. Yeah, why not? Azure Hills should be a place in which you belong. You know, there is a study that was done in 2007. And it's coming from Stanford University that mentioned that one in every five Americans suffer of loneliness. One in every five Americans suffer of loneliness. And loneliness means, kids, that you are all by yourself. Loneliness means, adults that you are here, that sometimes people don't get in contact with you and you are by yourself. Going through difficult times by yourself. You are alone. And this study also shows that the other side of loneliness, the other thing that you have to do to just go against loneliness, it will be to belong. To belong to a family. To belong to a group that is yours and you feel that it's yours. To belong to a group that you feel that is just the perfect group, that's why you just want to go to that place all the time. That place should be church. That place should be each one of your homes, adults, that these kids will feel comfortable enough to approach you at the end of this service and say, can I go and eat Indonesian food at your house today? And you're like, okay. Should be a place in which these kids and you adult, you who are visiting this church, should be feel comfortable enough that you know you're part of a big family who just loves the way you are. And you are not being judged by the way you look. You are not being judged by the color of your skin. You are not being judged because you are a woman or you are a man. You are not being judged by anything else other than you. You and me having the same Father, and His name is God. Having the same Savior, and His name is Jesus. There is this, when I was looking for the phrase, mi casa es su casa, I found out a few things. And one of the things that I found out is that phrase got more popular during the 70s. And during the 70s, used to be a show. And the name of the show used to be Chico and the Man. How many of you guys remember that show? Chico and the Man. Look, a few hands there. Some of the kids don't even know. Like, what? Chico and the Man. And that was the first show that was done in a Mexican-American environment, meaning it was done in East L.A. Isn't that awesome? And the show was simple. It was a white man having a really bad garage who he didn't take care of it, and he just didn't want to interact with anybody else. And then this guy, a Chicano guy, a Mexican-American born here, Chicano, he comes into his garage looking for a job. And he comes there and says, hello, my name is Chico. And the guy is like, who are you? Get out of here. I don't want to interact with you. You are different than me. But according to this show, 4 years running, they established such a strong relationship that they see themselves as family. And Ed, who is the name of the white old guy, he just doesn't admit that he's family now with Chico, a Hispanic guy. But he loves Chico. And Chico dies. And when Chico dies, he feels the pain of not having his friend, Chico. One day, Ed, in one of the episodes, Ed goes to Tijuana for fishing. I don't know where you go to Tijuana fishing. Maybe Ensenada, but they go to Tijuana for fishing. Maybe it was a different Tijuana, I think. Because when I go to Tijuana, I don't see where you can go fishing there. Yeah, if you know Tijuana, you will be smiling, laughing like me. But he goes to Tijuana with a friend fishing. And as he goes fishing, when he's coming back and he gets back in the USA, he opened the trunk of his car and there was a 9-year-old kid. His name was Raul. It reminds me a lot about my story. But Raul was there in the trunk and he's like, what are you doing here? Who are you? What are you doing? And he said, thank you for bringing me to the United States of America. I want to stay here. I like California. And he's like, no, you have to go back. No, I want to stay here. Are you my uncle? Automatically, he started making friendship with this man. And as he established that friendship, Ed, the old guy, he's just thinking, I need to send him back to Mexico. He needs to go back. And as he needs to go back, I have to, you know, he starts writing letters to the address that Raul used to tell him, oh, my dad lives here, or my mom lives here. He used to write letters to Mexico, hoping that the parents are going to answer, and nobody answers. He gets the phone number of Raul, his parents, and he calls. He calls only to find out that Raul, coming from Mexico, was an orphan. His mom died when he was being born, and the dad died as a fisherman at the sea. He didn't have nobody. And as he goes back to talk to Raul, he just says to him, mi casa es su casa. And that phrase got famous because of that. The name of the episode was that, mi casa es su casa. Because as human beings, we all need a place to feel that is home. We need a place to feel accepted. We need a place to feel that this is it. I love it here. I want to ask for the director of Pathfinders to come here right now. Come on. Yes. And he's coming here. Oh, both of you. He's looking at her. I say director and you look at her. Why? No, you were looking at her. I know that happens, the same thing. Say, I know. My wife also is the one. They say I'm the head, but she's the neck. So stand right here. Stand right here. I want to ask all the Pathfinders to come out here. All the Pathfinders, yes, all. Big Pathfinders, well, you know what? All the kids, everyone, come here. And I need you to do something. Give him a big hug. Come on, family hug. Family hug. I want to see the family hug. Look at that. All right, Pathfinders, go back to your seat. Everybody now go back to your seat. Awesome. Thank you, Pathfinders, thank you. Where do you think the idea of giving a family hug came from? It's just that. Bringing everybody together to make somebody else feel that they are at home. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that, kids, Pathfinders, that you want? Don't you want to feel that you want to come to church every day, because church is the place for you to feel accepted, for you to have fun, for you to laugh, for you to have not only young friends, but older friends? Family is the one thing that we all need. If you want to feel that you belong to a church, why don't you come to an Asher Hills that we call this church to be the family church? If you are someone who needs help, who needs somebody to listen, why don't you come to Asher Hills and say, Pastor, brother, I have this issue. Can we talk? And somebody will listen to you. I'm going to finish by telling the story of this girl. And I'm going to change the name of the girl, because the name of this girl, I'm going to name her Lupe. But she wasn't Lupe. This is just like one of those stories that Ellen G. White said, Brother X or Brother Y. But I'm not going to go with letters. I'm going to say Lupe. Lupe was part of this church. She was coming to this church. She was coming every Sabbath to this church. But Lupe didn't have a family. Her parents left her when she was young. She found out a little bit more about them when she was a little bit older, only to find out that the dad was in jail, and only to find out that mom was doing drugs and getting into problems all the time. Lupe was coming to this church. Lupe, after coming for quite a few months to this church, she disappeared. Nobody knew anything about Lupe. But then I found out about Lupe, you know? Technology, social media, you find where's Lupe. And after trying to get more info from her, where she is, I got to text her. Is this Lupe? Who is this? This is Pastor Dante from Asher Hills. Do you remember me? Yeah, Pastor Dante, I remember you. Where are you? Still the same church, growing older. You're not that old. I'm 51 years old. That's old. Well, I don't think you are old. Well, thank you. That's nice of you to say. How old are you now? I'm 19. You are 19? Yeah, you used to be here when you used to be, what, 16, 15? Yeah, about that age. How are you doing? And she responds and she said, do you want to go eat with me? Remember we went once to eat carne asada fries? Remember, carne asada fries. Oh, yeah, I remember. You ordered the carne asada fries. It was French fries. It was carne asada on top and a bunch of cheese and beans on top of that. That's carne asada. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I went to eat with Lupe. And there was Lupe. She had all kinds of tattoos everywhere. She didn't look like any of us. Tattoos everywhere. But she was the same. As we were talking, I found out that during the last couple of years that I didn't hear anything about her, she chose to stay in the foster system. And a foster system means they replace you and they move you from home to home because you don't have your own parents, kids. Many of you have your own parents. But she didn't. Because these parents couldn't take care of her. She was moved from place to place to place to a home from home. And she told me, Pastor, it's been really hard. I had to admit, it wasn't good all this time. Just to tell you, 3 days ago I was in the hospital. What happened? I tried to cure myself. How? Just taking a bunch of medicine, you know. And I just don't remember why I did it. I just don't know why it just happened. I just did it. And I asked her, do you miss your parents? She said, yes. Do you feel that you have a place that you can call home? She said, no. But, she said, I was close of being adopted. Adopted? Yes, by other parents. Really? I was 17 and they were ready to sign the papers and they just didn't do it. How did that make you feel? Terrible. I thought I'm going to have now a stable family. So my idea now is to leave this state and start my life again. I don't want to know anything about anybody. Her goal was to leave this state and go to some other state to start her life again. Lupe, you know you have a family. No, I don't. You do have a family. You do have a church. You do have brothers and sisters who love you. Who? What are you talking about? There is Asher Hills. Asher Hills want to take you the way you are. And she asked, and she said, will they take me the way I am? Look at me. She showed me all her tattoos. Look at me. Do you think they are going to take me the way I am? And that's an answer that you adults and you pathfinders can only give. Because that's not for me to answer. That's not for me to tell Lupe they will take you the way you are. Even so that you don't have parents, even so that you don't have a family, even so that you don't have anybody to call friend or family, can she actually find in Asher Hills a family? Will you take her the way she is? We need to be like Jesus. The Bible, to finish, when the kids read the Bible text that I had, that they were reading before, the same Bible text says, starts by saying, now you are Christ's body, and each of you is a member of that body. Each of you are a member of that body. And you are not less, and you are not better than anybody else. Each of you are a member of that body, and each of you need each other. Each of you needs somebody else, and each of you kids needs each other and some adults, these adults. Because we are a body. Because we care for each other. Because we love each other. Isn't that what a family is all about? Is for you to answer what God wants you to do in this church. This is a place for you to belong. God loves you the way you are, Pathfinders. And he's proud of you that you are getting to this moment in your life. But more than that, I want you to remember that there is a bigger family than the one you have. It's God's family. This is his house. This is your place. Jesus wants to be with you always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, at this moment, O Lord, we praise your name for everything you have done for us. You praise your name because even so that we come from different places in this planet, even so that we are different, we need to remember that we are all one, one body, with different parts, everybody looking different. Help us remember that we want to belong to a bigger family than ours, that sometimes as human beings we do have issues. Help us to remember that beyond every issue and problem that we have, there is one bigger dad, there is one bigger family, and that's yours, that's this church. Bless the pathfinders, bless this church. In Jesus' name, I want to ask all of this. Amen.